Hello, group leaders. Pastor Kevin with you for our 21st podcast. Today's topic is around asking great questions and asking good follow-up questions in group life. Today I have with me a guest, Grace Staffer, Tyler Piott. Tyler will tell you what he does, but also know that he's writing the message guide now and has been for this is the third semester maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
And so he's good at writing questions. So Tyler's a great one to have on this topic. So Tyler, tell the folks what you do over at the chapel, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so like Kevin said, my name's Tyler. I'm the associate pastor over at the chapel. And so I've been there for, I think it's 3 years, been at Grace for five, but been at the chapel for three. Even though I'm at the chapel, I'm really blessed to be able to kind of have my hands in just a lot of different smaller things at Grace, and one of those things is discipleship in our Grace groups. And so I have the privilege of creating every week what all of our questions look like as we lead groups together. And I think that applies well because it's not just written questions, but me as a pastor, I have to learn how to make real questions in real time with real people. And that takes time. It can be challenging. And so I hope that some of this will be helpful for you, even if it's just a little nugget to take here and there. I mean, there's a million things you could say about questions. And I don't think anything I'm going to say is just going to knock your socks off like I've never heard of that before. But there are constant, good, regular reminders as we think and process, like, how can I be a really good group leader? How can I talk to people well? And how can I listen well? And I think that's actually the first point to say, is that if you would actually listen better, your questions will be better. It is so easy for us to preload questions while people are talking, especially in a Grace group, if you're familiar. As people start talking, you're like almost downloading three things that you're going to say next instead of just listening to the person that's in front of you. And even I can get caught in that. But what you miss is like what the person is saying, which is way more valuable than probably what you're going to think of to contribute in the next 15 seconds. So that's the first point. Just listening is almost as important as creating the question itself.
Yeah.
Ask shorter questions than you think you should. I am the number one culprit of this. I way over explain. I give examples before they need to be given. Ask a shorter question than you think you should. More than not, people don't actually need the context of the question. They just need a really clear one. And so the more words you can actually cut out and the less details you can give them, it is good for them to then use their brain to get to a space.
I would imagine that also leads to more people being able to answer the questions.
Yes, correct. Because the problem is when you almost over-deliver, they will ask the follow-up question, can you ask that again? Can you ask that in a different way? Because what you didn't give them is the actual clear question. Be Makes okay sense. When it's quiet. Be okay when they don't answer for 10 seconds. A good leader like knows when the space is needed, but they also know when it's been a little too long and you need to move on. But questions live in those moments of silence because some questions are hard or some questions take a little bit to think about and come up with. A really easy one, but switch your starting words. A lot of us, I think your home base question is what? What does that bring for you? What does that, you know, do? How does that happen? So, but switch up what you say and how you ask. So when I say that, make sure that when you're asking questions or thinking through things, you're using all the question words. What, when, where, how.
I probably do that too much. My baseline is why.
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Yeah.
What was Paul trying to tell us?
Yep. Very therapist-minded, counselor-minded is the why question.
Yeah.
A lot of our action steps live in the how, and I, for some reason, I just don't. I don't use that word a ton, but how does this apply to you today? How could you implement this in the next week? So that's a really valuable resource as you think about questions, is just to switch up the word that you use when you're actually starting one.
That's good.
Yeah. I would say strategically close and open your questions for audiences that you know. The person that knows your Grace group best is probably you. I know people in my Grace group that probably talk a little bit too much, and I know people in my Grace group that I wish that they would talk more. And so when I think about questions or I think about follow-up questions, I purposely cap them in a way that I hope one person will be more brief, and then I hope that someone else would actually feel comfortable enough to speak about it. And that takes time, but it's really valuable because you're not losing time going on two or three rabbit trails, but you're actually keeping it in a space that's really valuable for everyone.
What about follow-up questions in particular? Do you have a strategy around that?
Yeah. Like I live by the kind of the phrase, like, your third question is your best question. It's really hard to get to depth with one question. Sometimes it's really awkward to get to depth with one question. Yeah. But if you can start at a baseline to say something really simple, and then you can kind of chip away because now you know where people are at because they've had a chance to talk, then you're getting into the meat of things. What I mean by that, like, follow-up questions can come out of anywhere if you just start simple. So what do you do for a living? They talk about that. Second question, what do you do for a living? Like, what got you into that, you know? And most of the time on the second question, they're revealing something about their past, their family, their interests. And by the third question, you're asking, like, why do you think that makes you feel that way? Why, you know, why was your job so hard? You're getting into really real stuff. Yeah. It just takes a second to get there.
How about using questions to, like, recenter or refocus the rabbit trail type discussions?
I think it kind of alludes to like the next thing I was going to talk about. Don't ask a question you already have a clear answer for. A lot of times when we want to cut the rabbit trail, what we want to do is just like toss out a question with an easy yes or no, just so it like makes you feel like you're back on track. Or you pull the insensitive mark that you kind of just like cut it with a guillotine and start over. But the way that you pull people back into it is to rephrase your past question, or to give a question that kind of mediates the two. So what I mean by that is, if you've been on a rabbit trail for 10 minutes, rephrase the question that you just asked in a different way. So it feels new, but it's actually the same thing. Or give a question that's kind of like that, but it's going to get you to your question number five if you're on question number four.
That's great. What are your, maybe we should have talked about this at the front end, and I know we don't have much time, but what's the goal with all the questions? Like, what are we actually trying to get at?
Some people, all they want are the questions, right? They don't want any answers. But the goal that we would get at is not that people would learn, but they would actually learn more about Jesus and about themselves, and then they would apply it. So we hope that they would do all of those things, that they would learn more about the Bible, they would learn more about what that has to say about their life, and that they would actually be able to do it. So we hope that that's the space that's created with these questions, not that they would just give an answer.
Right. That makes sense. Well, Tyler, thank you. That's a lot for us to chew on and think about as we lead our groups and we think about those that are sitting in our circles and how we can ask, to your point, better, more clear, shorter answers that maybe everyone can participate in. So thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, for sure.
Group leaders, your action step out of this is take something you've learned here and install it into your question and answering time in your group life this week. Thank you all.